You're listening to Vatican Radio. Leaders of the World Communion of Reformed Churches met with Pope Francis on Friday, stressing a new urgency for Christians to work together to bring unity and justice to a suffering world. After their first papal audience in 10 years, the delegation of Reformed Church leaders said this urgency for a common Christian witness is inspired by the forthcoming 500th anniversary of the Reformation, as well as by the continuing economic and environmental crises which oppress and destroy human life. Speaking at a press conference following their meeting with the Pope, the president of the WCRC, Reverend Jerry Pillay, and Secretary General, Reverend Chris Ferguson, shared perspectives on their priorities ahead of the next General Council to be held in Leipzig, Germany, in the summer of 2017. These include working for greater communion, increased mission and ecumenical engagement, as well as a strong focus on economic, environmental and gender justice within the church and within wider society. While not all Reformed churches allow women in ministry, the WCRC has committed itself to full equality of women in leadership and says it hopes to engage others in dialogue around this critical issue. To find out more, I spoke with President Jerry Pillay, Professor of Theology at the University of Pretoria in South Africa. Tell me first of all about the meeting with Pope Francis. What kind of atmosphere, what was his message to you, do you think, on a personal level as well as the formal speech that he gave?
It was really a very cordial meeting, a very good spirit. He received our statement very well in terms of our expression of the need for joy and urgency. We spoke to him about the relationships of our Reformed Catholic dialogue and expressed quite clearly that we want that to go further and we want to move it into what we will call signs of visible unity.
What do you mean exactly by that?
How can the Roman Catholic Church and the Reformed churches work together? And how can this be expressed in terms of worldwide Christian unity? We have been talking in the back rooms, if you wish, and not many people know the real natures of these conversations, except they know we're talking. But in terms of the need for Christian witness in the world and what is going around in the world at the moment, we believe that the strongest statement that will come out of any church dialogue or interfaith or even interchurch dialogue is when churches start to work together and show this to the world. So Christian unity must be expressed when we are visibly together involved in projects, involved in talking about issues of justice, involved in issues of poverty, involved in dealing with women's issues, whatever it is, but working together. Admittedly, sometimes it's going to be a challenge because of our different church traditions, but the world is suffering, and that's the message of urgency that we conveyed, that a suffering world requires Christians uniting in their witness to the world.
Now, you mentioned those three areas of justice that you want to focus on: economic justice, ecological justice, eco-justice, and gender justice. Can you give us some practical ways in which you're hoping to work this out?
In the economic justice issues, we've already started some serious work. We're working with the World Council of Churches. We're working with the Lutheran World Federation and Council for World Mission, an initiative that we actually took to deal with the economic situation and how do we actually find a new economic architecture structure to address the discrepancies of economic injustices. Very often the church makes criticisms without often providing alternatives. So we started this attempt to try and provide alternatives. And this has been going very well. It's in its advanced stage in terms of groups of people coming together and saying, what alternatives can the church provide? And obviously we're using people with absolute knowledge in terms of economics. They are economists themselves. And we bring in both theology and economy together to work at this. Climate issues, we are basically working with others in this one because there are some good programs in place already in terms of dealing with climate change, dealing with ecological challenges. So we are working with numerous bodies, interfaith bodies included, to actually talk about some of the practical things we can do with this.
You were very encouraged, weren't you, by Pope Francis's encyclical Laudato Si?
Absolutely, because I think that also became a very good environmental focus in terms of what the church should be doing, and it is crucial that the church should be talking that kind of language in this day and age. So yes, absolutely, we find tremendous encouragement from that. But it also fortifies and confirms what many of us have been saying about the church's involvement in ecumenical, ecological issues as well.
economic and ecological justice, are very easy to see how the Catholic and the Reformed churches align their visions. Gender justice and the full empowerment of women in ministry perhaps is not so easy to see. In fact, it would perhaps seem to be more an obstacle.
Admittedly, that would be an area of serious challenge, largely because of our different theological traditions and views about it. And very often when the Roman Catholic Church deals with things, the big point for them is the theological, traditional point of departure. And so that would be a challenge. But I do think that we find in Pope Francis a person who is actually sees the value of talking things theologically, but I think he also is a person who sees the greater value of dealing with things practically. And justice issues for him is an issue with regards to women. So whilst it may not be easy for him or even for the Roman Catholic Church to say, we think differently about this from a theological point of view, but yet we must understand that there is a sobering judgment now with a judgment call that says we have to think and rethink our place and position about women in the church and in leadership. And we're hoping that somehow we can bring those things to the table and engage a real solid dialogue on this particular topic.
Within your own Reformed tradition, though, there are those who disagree with your vision of taking forward this progress of women in ministry, isn't there?
Certainly, because they come from a strong tradition where they believe that women are not supposed to be leaders in the church. And we are challenging that. But as I said, you know, they are part and parcel to our family, and we journey with them in the struggle for understanding. So they know clearly where we stand as an organization, because the organization has made its point of view well established. We have quite strongly said that women are a very essential part of our ministry, and they are part and parcel to the leadership of the churches as well. And we embody that ourselves by asking for 50% men and 50% women to be involved in our leadership, which I hope will be the future of our leadership as the WCRC. So they know quite strongly where we stand. But we have taken a position, which is actually quite interesting, that none of them have said, listen, given your views, we think we need to leave because there's no space for our views here now, which is quite interesting. In spite of our decisions and our solid decisions in these areas, they are still saying, no, we want to be part of you. But let's dialogue among ourselves how we can actually work with our different views on this. So we're creating space for dialogue. And I think that's what humanity is all about. Is that though we may not necessarily have all the answers for everything, and though we may be clear about some things that we have to do, even from our biblical basis, but yet we must accept that different people are at different levels and spaces, and the idea is not to isolate them, but to integrate them with a new understanding.